Welcome to Movies for Days, your non-pretentious, easy-access movie chat podcast. These are the words that begin every episode of Movies for Days, right here at the Movies for Days Network, your weekly deep dive into a different film of any genre, from any decade, with anybody's guess as to how we chose that movie that week. Available now on Spotify, Anchor, Podcast Addict, Audible, CastBox, Google Podcasts, and basically anywhere else podcasts can be heard. So if you're looking for a little less pretentiousness and a little more movie chat to your podcast, look no further than Movies for Days. That's movies as it is, four like the number four, days spelled with a Z. Movies for Days. Check us out on Twitter at Movies Days. Movies is spelled regular, days is spelled with a Z, because we're so cool like that.
He's the most dangerous and brilliant criminal mind I've ever known. For years, I've been watching him, tracking him, studying his every move. I know his every mannerism. Facial tick gesture. I know him better than he knows himself. And now, after all this time, I finally figured out a way to trap him. I will become him.
Welcome to the latest episode of the podcast That Wouldn't Die. I'm your host, Kevin. With me, as always, is Aaron.
Yep.
This week, we're going to be discussing the science fiction action classic Face Off with John Travolta, Nicolas Cage, and others. Gina Gershon, what's her name? Joan Allen. It's an all-star cast, for goodness sake. Each week on the podcast That Wouldn't Die, we discuss guilty pleasures and forgotten classics of the horror and sci-fi genres with a comedic twist. Aaron, how are you doing?
As some of you may know, I am in fact a teacher, and summer is winding down.
Yes, it is.
In fact, I legally have to be back on Monday, which means I optionally have to be back this week. So that's what's happening. So the slap in the face is appearing.
Yeah.
I have a red mark. I was like, oh.
Well, do you have to set up your classroom or anything? Or is it all ready from last year?
Not only do I have to set up my classroom, they decided that special ed needs to double up. We don't need our own classrooms. Let's all double up.
What does that mean, double up? You're co-teaching?
Sharing a classroom with another special ed teacher. With the idea is, and we're starting push-in for everybody. So when I'm out of the classroom, he'll be teaching a class.
Teaching would be great if it wasn't for all the teaching. Is that what you're saying?
Teaching would be great if people just leave me alone, get out of my classroom. So now I cleared off, like I've been in this room for 14 years. It is covered. It is covered with 80s concert posters and all my stuff. So now I have pulled off stuff from literally a 5-foot section of the wall and cleared out a single bookcase for a dude who has never taught special ed before and is just starting a program.
So you're just taking advantage of the poor bastard by giving him one little area
to make his own. Basically, he's going to have to ask for more. Not only that, I spent the whole summer going to concerts, buying the posters, framing them, which I will now be hanging in my classroom.
Interesting. So you're setting it up for an uncomfortable confrontation. You want him to get so pissed off that he actually has to say something to you.
I just spent the afternoon with him yesterday. None of that will happen. There will be no confrontation. I sense that already. It's called Aaron's Steamroll Service.
Steamroller.
Good luck. I made sure I was there before anyone else to rearrange all the crazy desks in what I call a chaos method, because they put way too many desks in there. So, I don't know. Let's see if he says something. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit.
That's it. Would you give us your 30-second synopsis of Face Off, please?
First of all, I'm psychically predicting that this is one of your most favorite movies of all time. When in reality, it is just such trash. But I understand why men would like it. I suppose that if you overcome the idea that Nick Cage, who is ripped, versus John Travolta, who's about 70, got about 75 pounds on Nick Cage, that just by peeling the face off, it also contours the body and pops it back later on, that's plausible. That's plausible.
Correct. It's just good science.
It is just ridiculous, makes no sense. I saw this mofo at the theater, and my husband thought it was genius. And I was like, what the F is this trash?
And well, I'm gonna let you in a little secret. This movie came out about the same time as two other Nick Cage flicks, The Rock and Con Air.
And I've seen them both.
And this is easily my third favorite.
Of those three. I figured because this is beyond of ridiculousness that this would have been your greatest movie of all time. Of all time.
You know what? I mean, at the risk of spoiling our reviews later in this, let me just say I find Nicolas Cage's role in this kind of disappointing for a variety of reasons.
He's not pushing it hard enough?
Yes.
The crazy eyes?
Yes. That's basically
he's making the face as if you stepped on a toad and you can capture the toad's expression at that moment.
That is Nick Cage in the first 10 minutes. When he is crazy Nicolas Cage at the beginning, then that's the Nicolas Cage I want. Give me that. When they when they switch faces, now suddenly he's like, I have to play this totally straight. Mm-hmm. I have to be John Travolta in this. And the bummer about this movie, again, at the risk of spoiling my review, is you can see Travolta's actually trying to act like Nick Cage. Like the way he says things, like his mannerisms. He's giving you, I'm doing a Nick Cage impression right now.
Not a good one.
You can see the hints, though. Right, you can see he's trying to do these things.
But let's just clarify, John Travolta, out of the context of this movie, went on stage and was acting like this, you would never guess it was Nick Cage.
I don't know. I think you're selling him a little short. But I mean, he's not Rich Little. You know what I'm saying? How's that for a dated reference? They read somewhere that they met before filming and actively tried to be like, here's some mannerisms you can lift to kind of make it clear, like you're who you're supposed to be, you're me secretly. Whereas Nick Cage's whole thing is, and part of it is just the writing is not spectacular. The Sean Archer character is zero fun. His whole character
makes
sense. Oh, I'm so upset. I'm driven, but not in an interesting way. And I, you know, it's a lot of that stuff. So that when they switch faces, Nick Cage has to deliver this kind of dour, understated performance, which is boring. And frankly, has none of the mannerisms of John Travolta. You don't see any, oh, that's a John Travolta moment. You know what I'm saying? You never see. So it's basically, it's confusing on a level where I'm like, oh, so there's two Nicolas Cages in this movie and zero John Travoltas.
John Travolta was being Nicolas Cage,
yes,
it was actually a better performance than regular John Travolta.
Yes. Yes.
Maybe to channel that shit.
Absolutely.
It was definitely more interesting.
Yeah. It was definitely more interesting. Again, the Sean Archer character it's like, who would want to play this role? It sucks. It really is. It's not interesting. He's just kind of, like I said, he's not like, you know, it's like Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive, right? He's out to capture the bad guy, but he's got personality doing it. You know what I mean? Where Sean Archer's like, I'm out to capture the bad guy, but I'm basically kind of a boring guy.
And he's got a great name. But yeah, he's boring. I wouldn't want to hang out with him.
Right.
I assume that's just the Scientology working.
Okay. Could be.
I literally Googled, is this an all Scientology production? Because later on, you see somebody doing something bad who later went to jail for doing the same thing. Also Scientologist.
I'm sure I saw this in the theater. I'm absolutely positive. I don't think I have an interesting story to tell about it. It was just, I remember distinctly going and seeing The Rock. I remember distinctly going and seeing Con Air. I'm assuming I saw Face Off in the theater, but I don't have like a distinct memory of it. It's because now people love Face Off. They love it. They love it. Well, that was the other thing. This was that period of time, a couple years, where John Woo was making American action films. We talked about Hard Target 100 years ago. He did this movie. He did Mission Impossible 2, all kind of back to back. And you can tell it's got that John Woo flourishes where there are doves flying by for no reason. There's
a lot of that going. When the doves cry. Let me do my 30-second review before you
I thought you already
on.
Did it.
I haven't said anything. Okay, I only complain.
Ahead. Sorry.
Nick Cage shoots John Travolta's perfect 80s child. I think that child played every child in every movie of the 80s with his Dorothy Hamill haircut, which plunges, I guess, John Travolta into a depression. 1,000 years later, he's been still trying to hunt down crazy Nick Cage. Nick Cage supposedly in a coma that ain't ever coming back. Hey, we have this secret technology where we can do anything, including make you look like Nick Cage by peeling your face off. So you can go figure out where this bomb is. Oh, okay. Okay. Let's just do that. But of course, Nick Cage wakes up with just a raw, jacked up face. You think you'd wake up screaming. No. And through a series of phone calls is able to figure out who the doctor is who did all this, have him brought to him, do the same thing, make him fat. And then, you know, they're all hunting each other. Nick Cage doesn't work, but ends up being a better father and parent and husband to John Travolta's family than he was. I'm surprised at the end, the wife and daughter just don't turn to John Travolta as a character and actually just shoot him. We like this guy better. Anyway, the end, he raises Nick Cage's child, who will eventually grow to murder him as a vendetta for killing his father.
Vendetta! Yep. Very good. Very good. We talked about how we've seen this movie. why don't we jump right in to the highlights? Go ahead.
I just have to say, when I saw it, I thought it was supposed to be a straight film. The second time, this time watching it, I'm like, clearly, this is supposed to be ridiculous. This is a comedy, right?
No.
Is this top five comedies? we're reviewing this because this is what we're going to call the science fiction. How does this fit into our category?
First of all, you suggested this. Let me just add to this.
It was on the list. It was on the list that you gave me.
Yes.
But
it is,
we're going to call it science fiction.
It's science fiction because the face-changing technology, but also the bizarro prison where they have giant clomping boots where they can magnetize you in a form of crowd control. So there you go. That's why it's science fiction.
They might need that. I don't know.
I agree. It's good stuff. Sweet Lord. I love in the opening scene, there's John Travolta with his son. They're getting on the merry-go-round. And the camera pulls back. And there's Nick Cage 10 feet away with a sniper rifle. It was like, whoa!
He's hiding behind the concession stand in Disneyland, basically.
It was so
with a sniper rifle.
It was. It was like, is there no security? Or how about this? Aren't you an officer of the law? Aren't you a detective? You can't detect the dude right there with the gun?
That's why he's so depressed. He's like the cop in Magnolia.
That's right. And of course, in this flashback, you have Nick Cage with his Harry Reams mustache staring out. He never has a mustache at any other time in the movie. I guess that's just to establish this was
time
back when
passages.
It's back in the 70s.
Then it was 1974. Is that what we're trying to establish?
It goes way back. Let me tell you.
I love how he kills the wrong person, and then one, never tries to correct it, and then two, there's no blowback. It's like, whatever.
Right.
So was doing this as a contract or just for fun?
These are excellent questions. He couldn't shoot a second time? The guy's like laying on the ground.
Seems like, and he's in the scope. You see him watching through the scope, laying on the ground, laying perfectly still.
Well,
did he only bring one bullet? Because that's all he needs normally.
That's all he's one bullet, one shot, Joe. He's established as being a guy who has no issue setting off, what was it, a nerve gas bomb or a nuclear bomb, whatever it is, in the middle of L.A. But they have to constantly, on two different occasions, they have to make a point to say, like, ooh, I shot that kid and I feel a little bad about it. Just a little bit. Like, I shot through John Travolta. He's upset his son's dead. And it kind of cuts to him. He's like, oh, well, that's kind of a sad thing. And then later in the movie, when he's like, hey, it was an accident. Why are you still carrying this around?
What's up? It's business. It's business, man. It's not business. Personal.
You know, I don't kill kids. Well, sometimes I kill children. Look, I do kill children. This time happened to be an accident, though. Good That's times.
Right. So get over it.
Would you get over it? I had no idea it would. So,
is this an issue for you? Literally, this is what I understand.
Please.
He's like the Joker. Where who would ever work with the Joker? Because he's clearly crazy.
Yes.
He has a history of anyone who works with them either killing them or screwing them over royally. It never works out. It's like every horror movie where someone makes a pact with the devil. It never quite works out. Yet there's always minions willing to sign up for a guaranteed death sentence.
Yes.
Who would ever work with Nick Cage?
The actor now.
I mean, his character in this.
He cast her Troy. Because remember, he has a younger brother named Pollux. He cast her in Pollux.
What a ridiculous name. Pollux Caster. Not, how many casters have you met in your life?
Not as many as I'd liked, let me tell you. Pollux, also not a popular name.
No.
Oh, God. So they've set up a bomb. They're terrorists for hire, which is a thing in movies. Is that a thing in real life, too? Perhaps it is.
You're a soldier of fortune. I think all these movies, like Quentin Tarantino, Kill Bill, all those people are basically assassins for hire. It's the same thing. I guess you just kill more people.
Just kill more people. So they've set a
one.
Yes.
You kill a couple.
You kill a few. They've set this bomb in like the LA Convention Center or whatever it is.
And then wait a month to blow it up? Is that what it is? Like,
yes. Yes. It was like the countdown. I'm like, there's like five digits to the countdown. I'm like, what the hell? What is this thing going on?
You only have 3 months. Only 3 months left to figure it out.
Yes, exactly. So in a shootout at the beginning of the movie, Nicolas Cage is put in a coma and his younger brother is arrested. Okay. But they figure out, the cops figure out, oh, there's this bomb. And the only person who might know where the bomb is the still living brother. But the only person they'll talk to about it is Nicolas Cage, who is now in a coma. So that's when, miraculously, this doctor from the FBI shows up and goes, hey, we've got this top secret surgery that no one else knows about.
And then so we're not going to share with the people on the street because we don't know who's on the take.
We don't know who's on the take. So only people who can know about
we have miracle surgery that we're not going to share with the general public.
That is correct. That is correct. Well, and it's called Face Off, but it's really called Body Switch. It's kind of a Freaky Friday type of situation because I looked this up. John Travolta's got at least 3 inches on Nicolas Cage.
And 70 pounds.
And at least 70 pounds, right? So
this isn't staying alive, John Travolta.
This is
a little heavier than Pulp Fiction. He's put on some pounds since Pulp.
And what's funny, even during Pulp,
not to fat shame, it's just to point out how ridiculous the idea that these two guys would somehow be confused for each other.
Well, and here's the thing. It was starting, frankly, if you watch Pulp Fiction, he's a little hefty in that as well.
Yes.
It's like somewhere along during his comeback, he was just like, I don't really need washboard abs. I'm good. And it just kind of, so if you see him now, he's kind of followed that trajectory. Whereas right. Nick Cage, for whatever you want to say, is cut. He's like
he's ripped.
He's got washboard abs. Yeah. Oh, the whole deal.
He was taking this shit seriously.
Absolutely. So they put him, they changed the face, they changed the body, they changed everything. Fingerprints? They don't mention that.
They've magically figured out how to remove scars. I mean, that technology yes. alone would make millions for the government.
Absolutely. No scars. With modern anti-inflammatories, you can bounce back from these surgeries in minutes, is what they said.
Dude, so someone's going to punch you in the face after having your face peeled off, and you're good to go.
Ignoring, of course, the fact that your bone structure is what determines what your face looks like. It's not your skin. But right. that's neither here nor there.
Otherwise, you're walking around with like a Michael Myers droop mask.
He looks like Leatherface.
That would have been a better movie. Yes. They're like, it's going to be impressive. And then you see this like, like a basset hound. His eyelids are all droopy. That would have been so
House of
bad.
Wax. Hey, it's me, I'm your brother.
It's like you left the candle out in the sun and quickly put it in the refrigerator. Too late.
Too late. It's too late. So, of course, he goes to prison. And gets the brother to spill the beans, which he's like, hey, it's me, bro. So let's talk about that bomb we're setting off. Where did we put that bomb again?
I forget. I don't remember. And what's the combination? Can you remind me? I'm still a little, messed up. And how lucky it is that they decide to put co-conspirators into the same prison together.
Yes, absolutely. Isn't that nice of them?
That happens all the time.
So, of course, spontaneously, Nick Cage, who was supposed to be like in a coma forever, snaps out of it, peels off his mummy wrappings. And they never show like a close up of like his jacked up face, but it's clearly just an open wound. He has no face, like a chimpanzee went at him. He has no face. Of course, he's smoking a cigarette with no lips. I don't know how you do that.
Or talking with no lips. How about that? He should look like, instead of Two-Face, it'd be One-Face, just the bad side.
That's correct. So they put John Travolta's face on Nicolas Cage and then pump 50 pounds of belly fat. I'm not sure. They just had a leftover from old John Travolta just in a
it's
bucket.
It's just literally like 3 pounds of belly fat right on top of his head to make him taller.
To make the difference.
Like a man
Absolutely.
Bun.
Absolutely. And this is where it gets so bizarre because I understand what John Travolta, let's just, because it's going to get real confusing. What Sean Archer's plan was to go undercover into the prison. I understand that. Did Caster Troy put on the other face just because, hey, I need a face? I'm faceless?
Well, I mean, it does make sense, but the best part is that the motherfucker keeps showing up for work.
Yes!
Like, on time, doing work. Like,
everyone went home with his wife.
He's going home with the wife,
he's
giving advice with the kids, and showing up for work. And he's getting awards because he's catching more criminals than John Travolta ever did in a slothful
life. It's so bizarre. He's there 8 a.m., fresh and polished, ready to roll. He's at home for dinner every night. I mean, it's so ridiculous.
Someone gives you an assignment you're not interested in, he just makes you have a heart attack and die. So,
well, yes,
that's one way to deal with bosses.
Well, and the other thing, it's so bizarre. So Nicolas Cage, excuse me, Sean Archer now knows everything about where the bomb is, but of course he's trapped in the prison. How am I going to get out? Now I know Caster Troy has assumed my identity.
And Caster Troy killed everyone that was involved.
Right.
How he knew who was involved, who knows? But everyone who knew anything, he burned to death in a situation that wasn't covered in the news at all.
That's correct. 100% correct. So you think they'd be like, damn, I got to get out of this prison to deactivate the bomb. The bomb's still going to go off in 2 weeks. I got to get out. Oh, no. Caster Troy deactivates the bomb on his own. He goes directly to it. And he's just like, doo, doo, doo. Yeah, we solved it.
He's a hero.
He's a hero. So he goes to his twin brother, who knows that he is who he claims to be. And he's just like, why are we? Don't we have a contract with, I don't know who he says, some terrorist group? And he's like, well, think about the good publicity. I mean, it's worth twice as much. Really? the cold hard cash you were going to get. Okay. Makes
he's
a lot
like,
of sense.
He's like, I got a 9-to-5 job. I'll just move you into the shed. This is all I ever wanted.
It is the crazy, because you're right. There's a scene where Sean Archer's daughter is about to be date raped in the driveway right in front of the house. And Caster Troy prevents it, beats up the boy, and gives if this ever happens again, use this knife. It gives her a butterfly knife to defend herself. He is. And he's like a sympathetic husband. He's like rubbing her feet when she comes from work. You've had a rough day, honey. I made this delicious dinner for. It's like, what is his goal now?
I think he's like, he was a lost soul, misunderstood, and now he found the life he was looking for.
It is the craziest thing. Is your plan just to live this life forever?
Yeah, I love it. The fact that I wrote down, he just keeps showing up for work and catching criminals.
Catching criminals! Okay, at one point, they figure out that Sean Archer in disguise is now hooking up with Caster Troy's criminal buddies, Dietrich, the bald dude, and Gina Gershon. He's like at their house with all their minions and things. And keeping in mind, these are Caster Troy's friends and business associates. So what does Caster Troy do? He sends in 40 cops to kill them. To kill all of his friends. Why? Who knows? What was the thought process? So at one point in the shootout, in a typical John Woo fashion, you have John Travolta and Nicolas Cage on either sides of like a little wall talking to each other. And they literally say, hey, this isn't working out for either one of us. Why don't we switch faces back? And I kept going, that makes sense. Why don't we switch faces back? But of course they do not. Instead continue to have a shootout. I mean, if you kill the other person, then can you get your face back off a corpse? I don't know how this works.
I don't know. You just peel it off? What if you
just peel it off?
What's the time? Well, because we know Nick Cage wants to be a family man.
Yes.
He's trying to step aside from his life of chaos where he just looks at the camera and screams and laughs with crazy eyes for no apparent reason.
That is correct.
Trying to move away from that.
Yes.
Maybe he found some medication. I don't know. So that's why he doesn't want to switch back.
The whole thing, it's like the moment.
He's like, now I don't have to work out. I don't have to do all those crunches.
Well, that's what's so funny.
I can just relax.
So when Sean Archer is disguised as Caster Troy at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, they find someone else to do the miraculous surgery.
Because everyone knows how to do it.
Right. And again, he's got crazy like Nicolas Cage, like a Caesar cut, essentially. So I don't know if they kind of poofed that up.
They got Ron Paul peels, hair in a can.
They both have horrendous hair pieces.
The Bosley, the same place that Sean Connery gets all his rugs.
They need it because they both have horrendous hair pieces. Truly, they do. So again, you'd think you'd be, because at the end he's like, he has a bullet wound that he keeps, not a wound, but a scar from when his son was killed. And he keeps it with him. So when he's like going under the surgery, he's like, hey, can you put the scar back on there? And I'm like, how do you put the scar back on? Just kind of really scar the guy? Stab him a couple times. Like, okay, well, now you have a new scar. I'm not sure how this works. But then at the end, it's like, okay, now I'm going back under the surgery to get back I'm giving up the washboard abs. And I'm now going to have the spare tire again.
Really? I like that he says, make sure you add about 70 pounds. Why wouldn't you keep the slimmer body?
It's healthier. I mean,
you can let it all go to shit, but you can at least start off that way, you know.
Take some pictures.
You're at the beach and flexing and all that before the pasta and fried chicken get at it. But why would you say that? Put it all back. Did they keep it in a mayonnaise jar in the refrigerator?
They did.
Where did it come from?
That's right. In an old slop bucket. They just poured it right back in. We didn't talk about this, but there was an amazing celebrity cameo that you may not have noticed. There's a scene. There's a scene in the prison where Sean Archer did some stuff to piss off the warden. So the thing that the warden will do is he'll take you in and do some kind of electroshock lobotomy thing on you. Did you recognize
the
doctor?
Oh no, I thought you were talking about the other dude, the dude that was getting the shocks beforehand, because I'd seen him in something else.
There's people you've seen in other things, but did you recognize the doctor who was doing the shock?
No, lay it on me.
Joe Bob Briggs.
Shut your mouth. How did that wash by me?
I know.
Oh,
shocking.
My God.
Go back and look. Joe Bob. This is a period of time, bizarrely enough, where Joe Bob was in a handful of movies. He was in Casino.
He was in Casino. Absolutely.
But I forgot he was in this. Again, we're talking 30 seconds. It's a blinker. He had lines. He wasn't a background extra or anything.
Joe Bob was doing his thing.
Yeah.
He was great in Casino. He's the one who screwed up all the slot machines and it gets fired by De Niro. And then, there was like a couple of people. Like Chris Isaac was in a couple of films.
Yes.
Then disappeared. He was in Silence of the Lambs and he was in Little Buddha. He played the father of the kid.
He was in That Thing You Do.
He was?
Yes. He was the music producer who encourages them to add the claps to the song.
And then evaporated.
That's it. Evaporated. Because acting is hard. You just roll in there and be like, hey, whatever. It takes, first of all, it's kind of boring. If you're on a movie set, it's kind of boring, truly. And if you're only waiting around to deliver one line or something, you're just like, why am I doing this? I'm just going to go sing. So then you have to keep getting cast, I guess, is the other thing.
But I mean, singing is boring, too. I mean, I can't imagine these. Like, I saw Depeche Mode. They're singing songs from, like, the early 80s. I'm like, how many times have you sung that song?
That's true, too.
You know what I mean? All the songs we want to hear, it'd be like, hey, we're going to watch Face Off, but we're going to watch it every day for the next 50 years.
That's correct.
Except when we're on vacation.
Well, and then that's the cold, hard reality. When I saw Barry Manilow a month ago, he's like 85, 90 years old. He said, here's a song for my new album. I'm like, your new album?
That's when you're 90 years old.
So, right. There's a lot of that going.
When I saw Toto, they're like, okay, Toto. Everybody, now's the time. You can go ahead and sit down, go to the bathroom, because we're going to sing one of our new songs.
That's it.
Because they already knew.
That's it. Now you can go. Because we're tired of singing Hold the Line
for
the 400th time.
And then they said, everybody stand up because you're going to like this one.
Oh, by the way, another, not really a cameo. It was a song cameo that you may not have noticed. So in the shootout at the evil villain's lair.
Are we already in behind the scenes?
No. No, this is stuff I noticed.
This is just flavor.
This is just flavor. When there's shootout, there's a little boy, the false doppelganger for his dead son, who's hanging around. They put the headphones on the kid, and the song is When You Wish Upon a Star, the Disney song.
Right.
Do you know who sang that song? This rendition.
Was it John Travolta? No, was it David Miscavige?
Yes. It was David Miscavige. Olivia Newton-John.
Oh,
Olivia Newton-John. It's a Grease connection. Two of a kind once again. So there you go.
I have to say, I saw her 15 years ago. Her voice was like an angel. It was perfect.
She's dynamite. You can't go wrong.
She was.
Any other things you noticed?
Helicopter versus jets, where they're crashing into each other and everything's good. Like they're trying to bring down the jet. How about that? Are you allowed to take a helicopter and ram jets? Is that a thing? It seems like a quick way to die.
I don't know about allowed is the real question. You know what I'm saying? At this stage of the game, anything goes. I liked at the end, they're at a funeral and Caster Troy gets a note because he's there as Sean Archer attending the funeral of his superior who he murdered earlier in the movie.
He was trying to give him an assignment he was not interested in.
So I have to kill. He says, I don't like your Gestapo tactics. Like, he's too tough. He's like Charles Bronson. You're too tough on this war on crime, brother. So they're at the funeral. He gets a note. Hey, it's me, Sean Archer. Meet me in the nearby chapel. So they go in the chapel. Right, he does. And again, they're in the chapel. That's what? A stone's throw from a funeral full of 50 people, 100 people.
And it was like a Prince video with blowing shears and filled with pigeons. I think they were in an aviary.
Absolutely. And they're yelling at each other. They start shooting at each other, which I think would disturb the funeral. One would think. Jesus.
I haven't been around a lot of gunplay, but I assume that it's loud.
A little noisy.
Especially at a police officer's funeral.
FBI agents packed FBI. Full.
Everybody's packing heat. Someone would be curious.
You'd think. No, not in this case. Not necessary. I think that's about it. Anything else you got? Oh, yes. I do have one more thing, but go ahead.
All right. When the teenage daughter, they're like, what's happened to you? And all I kept thinking is punk rock happened to you. I'm like, she wasn't dressed so disturbing. I mean, this is that time when kids would be dressing that way.
If you dress like it's Halloween, you'll attract ghouls. That's what he said.
That's so funny. I mean, what is she supposed to? Are they Pentecostals? She was dressed appropriately.
They're Mormons.
For the time.
She has a chain in her nose. I mean, there's some stuff that's pushing it. She was wearing like hot pants. And, I mean, she was doing some stuff.
She was doing some stuff. That's I put down Bird away. Church.
I like how at the end of the movie, John Travolta shows up and he's just like, by the way, honey, this is our new son. He's an identical doppelganger for the son we lost 5 years ago. Having this one. She has nods.
How are we registering for school? What's the story?
We'll homeschool.
We'll homeschool. Yeah. No rhyme, no reason.
Yeah. And we haven't talked about what I'm sure was a Travolta ad lib, the bizarro face waterfalls that he's constantly doing on everybody.
Oh, that's got to be some Scientology shit. That's all I can think of because that made no sense. Is he blind? That's all I kept thinking. Is he gone blind? This is a thing.
That was the Helen Keller move.
It was the Helen Keller move. And then he used some sign language in the hand. There we go.
Yeah, absolutely. It was
so annoying.
I mean, I guess that is the kind of clue when Sean Archer does it to his wife to let her know it's really me. Because what other lunatic is going around?
I just put on my makeup as I just scraped down your face.
I hope you just washed your hands, bro.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up to your children and I'm just going to run my old Taco Bell hand down.
In this time
face.
Of COVID, exactly. It's not appropriate. So that's, and of course, the daughter does it to the new child that they've just adopted. Hi, I'm Skeezix or whatever his name is. And then immediately runs. You think he'd be like, what the? Get up off me.
That would have been just the cherry on top where the kid would be like flinching away.
Flinching, like, what are you doing? What's wrong with you people?
Where's my mommy?
Absolutely.
I took him from his aunt's house and decided to raise him. He shouldn't be around people he knows. Right on.
Absolutely. And that's the end of the movie. Good times, Ad Bob. Shall we go behind the scenes?
Please do.
We talked about this briefly. Nicolas Cage and John Travolta spent 2 weeks together before filming to learn how to play each other. They decided on specific gestures and vocal cadences for each character that could be mimicked. Although I feel you see none of that from Nicolas Cage.
I mean, because they can't just run a movie. I would have a hard time doing an impression of you in front of you. But I guess that's, I mean, because most of their stuff is two other people. I mean, when they're together, they're really just yelling and fighting.
You need to go back and see how he starts delivering his lines to Nick Cage when he first comes out. It's pretty impressive. It is pretty impressive. Now, but that's the thing. Nick Cage is basically like a meme. So everything he does is kind of bizarre and exaggerated. So it's easier to copy that. I acknowledge that. But you think maybe John Travolta should have thrown him a bone and gave himself some obvious tics and gestures other than the freaking face
Zuko.
Waterfall.
He should have just been Danny Zuko from
Tony Manero. Yeah.
Why you got touch my hair?
My hair. Throw those in there.
I would have been like, why you got touch my hair?
A couple
That's
times,
all
right?
You needed. That's all you needed.
That's all you needed. John Travolta asked the writers if they were making fun of him with the ridiculous chin line. Turns out, yes, they were.
Yes, they were. He's famous for his chin. Really? You got to ask that question?
Absolutely. Yes, we were making fun of you. Originally, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone were in mind to play the lead roles. Boom. So there you go. Other pairs that the studio wanted were Michael Douglas and Harrison Ford, Bruce Willis and Alec Baldwin, Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
I'm kind of down with the Bruce Willis one. That could have been good. It would have been more straightforward.
Absolutely.
The fact that you've thrown Nicolas Cage in here, and that's the wild card, because that's when you start getting all the bizarre behavior.
I agree. The crew shot on Nicolas Cage's birthday. John Woo let Cage get emotionally charged up for a scene and then surprised him with a birthday cake. Afterwards, Cage asked Woo not to do that again.
What scene did he have to get emotionally charged up for?
He always does. That's his move. That's his move.
Oh, Lord.
Let's see. Originally, Nicolas Cage was not interested in being in this movie because he didn't want to play a villain. It was until John Woo convinced him, hey, for the vast majority of this movie, you are the good guy, that then he signed on to do it. So there you go.
All right.
Which, if you watch this movie, it's true. It's like,
it's true.
They only really play their quote unquote real characters for like the first 10 minutes of the movie. And the entire rest of the movie, they're playing the alternate character. So you can just tell it's like, it's kind of like Demolition Man, where you just could tell, because people didn't want to play the villain. You know what I mean? For that one, it wasn't until
you
want
to play the villain. The villains always get the best lines.
It's always the more interesting role.
Always.
It truly is. Especially in this case. It's like ridiculous how much better the villain role is. It's just more fun. But it's a thing. Let's talk about the cast and crew, shall we?
We shall.
The director was John Woo, famous Chinese director, known for such Chinese films as A Better Tomorrow, Hard Boiled, etc., etc. We talked about he made the transition in the mid-90s to start doing American films like Hard Target, Mission Impossible 2, Face Off. Let's see. For the cast, John Travolta was top billed in this, by the way. He was the star. I mean, he was
interesting.
You know, he was fresh off. I mean, after Pulp Fiction, he could write his own ticket pretty much.
Yeah, I would agree. He was great in Pulp Fiction.
Travolta, really, despite all of his weirdness, is a really good actor. You know him.
That seems strong.
Oh, shut your mouth.
That seems really a strong statement.
He was Vincent Vega in Pulp Fiction. He was Chili Palmer in Get Shorty, Tony Manero in Saturday Night Fever, and Danny in Grease, et cetera, et cetera. Nick Cage played Castor Troy. Good grief. You know him for Moonstruck. Face Off. He was in Moonstruck.
Valley Girl. Great. My two favorite Nick Cage movies. He was in it straight.
He won his Academy Award for Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh my God, that was such an upsetting movie.
It was.
I saw it once and I never watched it again. It was so upsetting. He deserved an Academy Award. So it's always interesting, these people who you know can do it and choose not to.
Well, he had a lot of tax issues. You know what I'm saying? He's like,
he
I got to do
He must still
what I
have
do.
Tax issues.
He absolutely does, because he does not turn down a paycheck. What's interesting about John Travolta, going back to him, is he was a big, big star, and then you turn around, and this happens to me often, where you go like, oh, he's just doing straight to video now, is he? It's like you realize, oh, I haven't seen him in anything in 5 years, and then you're like, oh, now I see him in these movies. Like, this happened to Bruce Willis. You know what I mean? Where it's just suddenly...
Also, best role, Pulp Fiction. Bruce Willis brought it in Pulp Fiction. He played it straight. It was a drama, and he was amazing in Pulp Fiction.
Absolutely. Let's see. Joan Allen played Eve Archer, the wife of Sean Archer. She had kind of a big thing going on at this time. She was in Room in 2015. She was in Death Race in 2008. She was in Nixon. She played Pat Nixon in 95.
Yeah, I saw that.
And she was in The Crucible in 1996. Elizabeth Proctor.
Yeah.
She was. Joan Allen had a moment in the 90s.
She did. She had a big moment.
Place.
Unfortunately,
Absolutely.
The Crucible also casts Winona, which threw it all in the trash.
Wah, wah, wah. Threw it in the trash. Gina Gershon played Sasha Hassler. You know her from Bound, something called Killer Joe. She was in Showgirls, and she was in P.S. I Love You. She's in a bunch of stuff.
Wasn't
actually.
She in Jade?
No.
I listened to this. Who's that in Jade?
Linda Fiorentino.
Oh, I always get her and Linda Fiorentino confused. Yeah, I just watched Showgirls because I was listening to this podcast.
No.
You must remember this about erotic
yep.
90s.
Yep.
And they're like, oh, you know, Showgirls been given a bad rap. No.
Oh, it hasn't.
It was not. I disagree with extreme prejudice.
No, Showgirls is rough. It's rough sledding. Because even when it's not like obviously trying to titillate you, it's like even every line is really kind of gross.
Yes.
Everything somebody says to somebody else, you're kind of like cringing and like,
it is yucky. We're just going to call it yucky.
It's yucky. Anybody else you want to know about? Any
yeah,
other
the
characters?
Weird little kid with the Dorothy Hamill haircut. I think he played every kid in every movie and every TV show in the 80s or 90s,
Interesting.
Whenever the hell this is. He literally looks like the My Buddy doll. Maybe he grew up to become Chucky. I don't know.
He did grow up to become Chucky, I'm sorry to say. I mean, do you really want me to try to track down who played... Michael Archer was played by Miles Jeffrey. This
Miles.
Kid you're talking about.
Yeah.
You
that
know him from.
Come back. I know a couple of people with a Miles.
He was in 19 episodes of Early Edition.
Oh, what the
f? He was yeah. in a TV movie in 2000 called Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire. And he was the voice of Easy in Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh,
so there you go.
I love Babe. I thought you were going to say Eazy-E. I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
He was an Eazy-E. Eazy-E. Yeah, that's about it. Should we talk about the ratings?
Lay it on me.
Face Off currently has 92% on
it's
Rotten
you
Tomatoes.
You and all your buddies. It is you and all your little buddies.
Do you know what the audience gave it?
67.
82. The critics liked it more.
That's so
good
ridiculous.
Grief.
I mean, honestly, if you think of it as a comedy, then that's what you got to do. Again, you either go to one of those theaters that serve cocktails, or you have your homies over, you get some Totino's pizza rolls and some beer.
Yes.
And you get a little lit, and at the end of the party, you're like, everybody's a little tipsy, so they don't really want to drive. So, like, okay, this is what we're going to do, because I've run out of things to say to you people, and we're not going to dance. So let's just watch this movie.
Shall we talk about the top critics? Are you ready?
Are top critics people I've actually heard of? What does Janet Maslin say? Go for it.
Gene Siskel of the Chicago Tribune. Face Off is the best action movie of the summer. 3.5 out of 4. Boom. Peter Travers.
I'm in a parallel universe. Have I slipped into Brazil or something?
I think you might have. Peter Travers of Rolling Stone says, scenes of high voltage action vie with wild hilarity as two guys with guns switch faces and identities. 3 out of 4.
Whoosh.
And one more.
That's a lot. That's a lot to take in.
Roger Ebert of the Chicago Sun-Times. You see what thickets this plot constructs. It's as if Travolta adds the spin courtesy of Cage's personality while Cage mellows in the direction of Travolta. 3 out of 4.
I don't know. Like, one of the few times Siskel and Ebert agree, and it's on this.
They agree.
I don't understand.
Clearly. What is your rating?
I don't understand. I'm going to give it, I don't want to see it again. So I'm going to give it a 2.5. Frickin' Nick Cage needs to channel John Travolta every time to just tone that shit down, out of 5.
I gave it 3.5 out of 5. I think it's decent. I don't think it's any means extraordinary. You could definitely argue that it's well shot.
when you have to start talking about the costuming, yes, and the art direction, then you know.
Well, and it's part of it is, if you see, like, when you've seen John Woo, this is going to be blasphemy for some people, when you've seen John Woo's style, you've seen it. You know what I mean? I'm not going to be dazzled every time a dove floats into the screen, or somebody does a weird pirouette twist when they pull out their gun, or every time they shoot sparks fly out and they're shooting at cardboard boxes. there's a point where you're just kind of like, okay, it's fun. I mean, I enjoy it, but it's not like, oh my God, I'm bowled over by it. I told you that I thought that the Sean Archer character was written as a one note character. Yeah. It was a one-note character and not a very interesting note. So that kind of, because of that, and
this is a motherfucking Game of Thrones. There's no character development in any of these characters.
Yeah,
one has a family, one has a girlfriend.
Basically, I think the writing kind of dulled down Nicolas Cage and made him way too mellow and just not very interesting for me. So there you go. My feeling. Not horrible. If somebody said to me, hey, we're watching Face Off, I wouldn't leave the room screaming or anything. I would just be like, okay,
you'll have a Zima or a Bartles and James. Absolutely. And then just laugh and have everybody look at you.
A Seagram's wine cooler. no question. No, I would watch Con Air 10 times before I'd watch Face Off.
Quite frankly, all those movies you mentioned are all about the same for me.
No, shut your damn mouth. Very upsetting. So thank you very much. Go to our page on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on TikTok. We're on Instagram. We're on Threads. You can watch the simulcast of our show on YouTube if you're so inclined. You can email us at thepodcastthatwouldn'tdie@gmail.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere the finer podcasts are available. So don't forget to like, share, rate, and review, won't you?
Please.
Aaron, what's your social media?
I have much media. I am on Threads. I am, not that clap. I am on oh my God, the gram. I'm on the gram. I'm the cult of Aaron. Join the cult. I am Don't Feed the Pigeons. You can go to my link tree and buy my latest zines that are out there full of hijinks. Professionally, I am on First Dibs and Artsy. Aaron Doherty, look me up, buy some shit. There we have it.
There you have it. Each week, we like to go and read some messages from our loyal listeners.
Viewer mail.
And that's right, viewer and listener mail. Talking about the movie The Forbidden Zone, which we discussed some weeks ago.
Yes.
Lance Langford, we've been on his show, The Horror Returns podcast, in the past. He just says simply, don't fall into the Forbidden Zone.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, my God. The Forbidden Zone reminds me so much of Spider Baby. I don't know why. I feel like if I go to the Forbidden Zone, then I will pop up like a Mario brother and I will end up in the Spider Baby house. They give me equal vibes.
Oh, no question. No, Spider Baby is what it is. Forbidden Zone is some twisted fever dream that there's no way. I mean, it has left an imprint on my brain that I have to go to therapy to get over it. Cause it is a freak show. He said, don't fall in the Forbidden Zone. I literally just said, how about this? Do not watch the Forbidden Zone either.
It is perfect for how I saw it the first time, just playing in the background at a club with the sound off.
I told people not to watch it. I'm like, yes, we're discussing it. Do not watch this movie. Sweet Jesus. Anywho, next week, we're going to be discussing the horror suspense thriller Knock at the Cabin with Dave Bautista, Jonathan Groff, and Ron Weasley's in it for about 10 minutes.
I was like, is that Ron Weasley?
The latest from the mind of M. Night Shyamalan. So you know what that means. I don't know. Not good.
No, you know what that means.
So send us your favorite scenes, favorite quotes, comments, and questions, and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. Good times had by all. Where can you watch Knock on the Cabin, you ask? It's free on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
That's how I watched it. It could be at your local library. Who's to say? But check that out and let us know what you think. So thank you very much and be well.
Goodbye, children.